Okay, in years past, I used to take a day or two to go over Magid, and I would try not to repeat things I've said in years past. Those who really are interested, it's all posted online, and you can go over a lot of the Divrei Torah from the years past. So I simply jotted down last night, I was just looking at the Haggadah and things that came to me. Probably some of what I'm saying is coming from Sfarim. I don't always remember where I saw something. So a little bit of my own, but I don't want to take the credit. But it's all based on Inyanim that I've seen. Okay, so you know, we can't really go through everything carefully, but just in your schus, you know, whatever came to me last night is in your schus, and I'll simply share it with you as it came out. Magid begins with Halach Ma'anya. The first sentence is highlighting the matzah, the lechem oni, and from there we invite those who are not able to make their own seder, those who are hungry, to come and join us. And the obvious question that everybody asks is, what's the connection between the first sentence of Halach Ma'anya and the sentence that follows, where we open our door to the hungry to join us? And I just wanted to suggest a simple svara, and it really sets the tone for what Yetzias Mitzrayim is all about. Namely, the Torah has many mitzvahs, Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, not only mitzvahs that are commemorations per se, like of course those mitzvahs associated with Chag HaMatzos and even the mitzvah of Tefillin, but even mitzvahs lo saseh, specifically things that have to do with showing sensitivity to those who are less fortunate than us. It says that you should not oppress a ger. The Torah mentions to leave matnos aniyim for the poor. It mentions v'zachar to kever yisab mitzrayim. The Torah mentions not to oppress an almana, l'sach beged almana, in Parshas Kiseitse, and it mentions v'zachar to kever yisab mitzrayim. What I think you see from all of this, and it's a point that's obviously mentioned by the Mefarshim, that among other things, Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the experience of Golus Mitzrayim, was meant to create sensitivity for us to appreciate what it means to be deprived and to suffer. And it's because we had that experience in Mitzrayim, and we felt the taste of suffering and servitude, so therefore we naturally have a greater ability to empathize and to show sensitivity to those less fortunate than us. This is why the Torah refers to the experience of Mitzrayim as a Kor HaBarzel. Vayitzieschem mikor HaBarzel Mitzrayim. Kor HaBarzel is a furnace that refines metal and makes it purer. And the idea is that we become more sensitive as a result of our experience. Sometimes the opposite can happen. A person who suffers at the hands of somebody else can repeat the pattern of the person who caused them suffering. You identify with the oppressor. Sometimes you hear stories like that also. And obviously the Torah wants the exact opposite to happen. That's because, and it also certainly it's easier for the person who's experienced what it means to suffer to understand the plight of others. So with that idea in mind, I think it's a simple way to understand the connection between the first two sentences of the Halach Ma'anya and the Magid. Because Halach Ma'anya means here we are today highlighting the experience of affliction. And the matzah in this sense is referring to the matzah of Lechem Oni, the Achol Avasana. There's some question in the Mefarshim what it refers to, the matzah that they ate while they were Avadim the whole time, or it means just before they left. But it's referred to either way as Lech Ma'anya. And that really means the experience of the Avdus. And because we highlight that, so we continue and say, but we've learned the lesson, we've learned the message, that we have to appreciate what it means to suffer and be able to help other people out of that sensitivity. So that could be a way to understand the connection between the two sentences. Okay, let's go on. Yes, Yoa.
How can we invite the guests to come after Mikdash?
Okay, there's a lot of questions that are asked, a lot of answers that can be given, but we could spend this year on Halach Ma'anya. You know, you, if you wish some Haggadahs to look at these kinds of questions, then they're good questions. I'll give you a couple of places to look. Ezra asked me yesterday, where are some good Haggadahs? There's the Moshe Rav Kook, Torah Chaim Haggadah, which I always like to use. Wonderful nuggets, Rishonim. So you can't get better than Rishonim. And then you have, came out not long ago, Rav Shapsi Frankel's Haggadah, Raza Dagadita. He's malakate everything, very short. If you want to go to the Makoros, you can always go back. I'm sure you'll find the question over there. I would simply say now that it's a symbolic act more than actually an actual invitation. I mean, it can be seen as an actual invitation, but it's a demonstration. You know what? Someone will come in, he makes Kiddush, he'll make Kiddush. You know, the point is that we're setting the tone for the Haggadah. This is Magid. And this whole section was added. It was added, obviously, this was in Aramaic. The Mefarshim say it was during the time of when the vernacular was Aramaic. Okay, but again, there's a lot of questions and a lot of answers. That's what the nature of the day is. Shegel Tshuva. I'm just going to say, I was literally stream of consciousness last night. I sat down at my desk and I said, okay, let me see what hits me. Sort of just by looking at the page, and that's what I basically sharing with you today. So I'm definitely not trying to repeat. There are things I think I talked about, maybe your question, maybe other things I don't remember anymore in years past on Halach Ma'anya. But let's go on. Okay, Manishtana and Avadim Hayinu. The Mefarshim take Avadim Hayinu as an answer to Manishtana. Avadim Hayinu is a pasuk in Parshas Veschanan. It's actually found as the answer in the Torah to the Sheilas Chacham, the various psukim in Torah that we interpret as being referring to different children. But there's an interesting change in the language. The pasuk, as it says it in Parshas Veschanan, does not contain the words Ubisroa Netuya. It's at the end of Veschanan, the Amarta Levincha, Avadim Hayinu, the Pharaoh Mitzrayim. Yotzi'enu Hashem in Mitzrayim b'yad chazaka. We have here Yotzi'enu Hashem elkeinu misham. So that's also new. B'yad chazaka v'zvor netuya. Just something to take note of. I'm not answering the question. I'm just pointing it out. We're taking poetic license here. It's borrowed from the pasuk in Veschanan, but the expressions, of course, don't all appear in the pasuk. They appear in other pesukim. Misham. You have another pesukim where it says Yotzi'enu Hashem elkeinu misham. So we're borrowing the word Misham from elsewhere in Chumash. I think it's in Parshas Kiseitse, which says the word Misham. And Bezroa Netuya appears in a lot of places. We're throwing that in, as it were, in the Haggadah. Just to talk about Bezroa Netuya for a second. Misham would mean that it's a difficult place, it was hard to get out. It just makes the nace greater by emphasizing Misham, as even though it was like a country and a society where nobody could leave. It was so hard to get out, and we got out of there as well. Bezroa Netuya, what exactly does it mean? Yad Chazaka and Zroa Netuya, the two expressions that usually appear together. So the first time you have it is in Va'era, when it mentions Votseisi, Vitzalti, Vigaalti, Vilakachti, the four Shonos Yo Geula. So it says Zeroa Netuya. It doesn't say the Yad Chazak, it says Zeroa Netuya. So what is Zeroa Netuya? The Ramban says, Shetia Yado Netuya Aleim Ad Sheyotziem. That is to say that Kadosh Baruch Hu's hand continues to be there, outstretched until the Yitzia. So I think what it means is this. Yad Chazak would mean the actual expression of might. Zeroa Netuya is that it's not like the expression is made and then it stops and it starts again, but it's continuous. In other words, it stays, remains. That's another, you know, it remains extended. It's not as if there's a backtracking where it stops and starts and stops and starts. That's, I think, the Ramban's way of explaining Zeroa Netuya. Now, we should bear in mind that later in the Haggadah, it was a drush that made on Zeroa Netuya. So let's connect it to that. The pasuk in Kisavo, from Arami Yoviravi, by Yotzien Hashem Mitzrayim, Yad Chazaka, Ubezroa Netuya, of Maragado, of Moses and Moses. So how do we darshan? The Yad Chazaka, Zuhadever, as it says in Neyad Hashem Hoya. So Yad Chazaka is Dever. Zroa Netuya, Zuhacherev, Kimoshenem of Chabashufa, Beyad Netuya Yerushalayim. What exactly does it mean? Zuhacherev. Mean. So there are a lot of pshatim. One of the pshatim is referring to Makas Bechoros itself. So in other words, Yad Chazaka is referencing Makas Dever, the fifth Makkah. Zroin Tuya is a reference to Makas Bechoros. Zua Cherev is the Cherev that killed the Bechorim Mitzrayim. So why are these two Makos highlighted? Hashem took us out. The Yad Chazaka through Makas Dever was running to Yazu HaCherev through Makas Bechoros. A lot I want to tell you now is food for thought. I'm not going to give you a definitive answer to everything, but it's provocative. Hopefully it could bring discussion around the table for yourself, for others. The question is obvious. Why are we highlighting these two Makos? So the first thing that comes to mind is, first of all, the positioning of these two Makos. There's 10. So there's all kinds of ways you can organize the number 10. One way is 5 is the fifth of the first group, and 10 is the fifth of the second group. And you can line up, right? 1 and 6, 2 and 7, 3 and 8, 4 and 9, 5 and 10. So obviously positioning Dever and Makas Bechoros obviously shows some kind of relationship between them. What else do you notice? Both of these Makos involve death. Dever involved the death to the animals, and Makas Bechoros was death to the human beings. So that's Yad Chazaka Zroa Netuya. There's another pshat that's given for Zuha Cherev, and that is these are from Rishonim, and you'll see this in the Haggadah here of Torah Chaim, and brought down by Rav Shapsi Frankel's Haggadah. There's a pasuk in Tehillim in Hodu Hashem Kitov Kilom Chazdo Halagado Kufla Midvav L'Makei Mitzrayim Bivchol Rehem. Chazal Darshan, what does it mean, Bivchol Rehen? To smite the Egyptians with their firstborn? Hashem smote the firstborn. So the Midrashim tell us that when the news broke that there's going to be Makas Bechoros, there was a feeling of panic before it happened. The Bechorim knew that they were doomed, and they felt very panicky, and they created a civil war, and they ended up killing many. Says even maybe they pulled their parents because they felt like, why should we have to suffer here because of the decisions of the government and of Paro. And so it created havoc where many died as a result of the news itself that there's going to be a Makas Bechoros. L'makim mitzvayim v'vchorehem. In other words, not referring to the death of the Bechorim, referring to the death that the Bechorim caused because of the stress that they felt about what was going to happen. It's a very interesting idea, and I think what it says is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu works in many ways. Sometimes the Makkah is direct, sometimes the way it works is indirect. Hashem sets into motion a certain atmosphere emotionally where people feel that they have to act impulsively, and that creates an effect, that ripple effect, and all of that is also under Hashgachas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zua Cherev, and Hashem sets into motion that whole process. And it occurred to me that there's a remez here to what we find by Melchemes Gog u'Magog. You know that we read on Sukkot, and two of the Haftorahs have to do with Melchemes Gog u'Magog, from Zechariah and from Yecheskel. But really, the remezim are everywhere. The second part of Hallel that we have later in the Seder is referring to Asid Lavo, and a lot of the psukim, as explained by the Mefarshim, are remazim to the Mechemes Gog u'Magog. Especially there when you have Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem and Sabuni Gam Svavuni, they surrounded me B'Shem Hashem Ki Amilam. The first two mizmorim are about the past, Yitzias Mitzrayim. The later mizmorim of Hallel referring to the ultimate Geula. So what's described in the psukim in the Navi about Mechemes Gog u'Magog is that they'll fall by each other's sword. In other words, there's going to be all kinds of fissures and divisions between the nations, and they'll end up killing one another. So I would suggest that since we know that Yetzias Mitzrayim is a blueprint for Gula Asida, Ki Meitzeis Chamer Sam Arenu Niflos, everything that's going to be in the future is programmed already in Yetzias Mitzrayim. So this element as well, we can see in the fact that Makas Bechoros led to the civil war, and it created itself all kinds of ramifications. Maybe that's a remnant to what we find later, Gog Magog. I once thought also another connection, but that would be more for Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf would parallel Melchemes Gog Magog. That's for another occasion. Okay, now we continue with Vafil Kulanu Chachamim, Kulanu Nevonim, Kulanu Zekenim. Now this, we say the Ilo, it's a Kosh Baruch Hu says in Mitzrayim, so let's just highlight again that a Kosh Baruch Hu took us out, and without that we'd still be there, whatever that means. And now what Vafil Kulanu Chachamim is not directly linked to the previous sentences. What seems to be happening here is it's a new point. We're now going to define the mitzvah. In other words, Vafil Kulanu Chachamim is not directly connected to Harei'anu Vaneinu Vanei Vaneinu. That sentence is connected to Avadim Hayinu. And this is, I think, what the Rashbats points out. We're now beginning to talk about the mitzvah of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Harei zeh meshubach, ko amar b'lesaper. So the Svarim say, harei zeh is not just the act, but the person. Okay? If you really repeat the story and you get into it, it shows that you are a very sensitive soul and you really appreciate what there is to appreciate. So it's a tribute to you. That's how many of the Sfarim say it. Harei zeh meshubach. The person himself that does it is something, someone who's praiseworthy. The story of the five Zekenim, the Bnei Brak, there's a Tosus in Ksuvus, Kuf Gimel or Kuf Hei, that talks about the order in which they're mentioned. You know that Rabbi Akiva, so he's mentioned fourth. And he was a Talmud of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. We know that from the Gemara that we read not long ago in Daf Lamed Vav, Shabbati Hoysa. He was a colleague of Rav Tarfon. We find them all the time arguing in the Mishnais. They have the Mishnah in Ksuvis, as we saw with Yinosnu Kosher Shavehen, among other Mishnais, by the Metalton Diasmi. Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah was the one who replaced Rabbi Gamliel, was Rabbi Gamliel de Yavne as Nasi. That's the Gemara of Brachas in the fourth parak. Tosus raises the question why the order is the way it is. So Rav Reuven Margolius, in his Haggadah, also beautiful Haggadah, Reuven Margolius was a huge Talmid Chacham. He was a librarian, and he's prolific. He has so many Svarim, and he has Marmar Komos, beautiful Haggadah. I got it a couple of years ago. Very nice. Anyway, he has some thoughts about why the order is the way it is. I leave that again for you to research or think about. After this, we have the Mishnah in Brachas about Tzchis Yetzias Mitzrayim. Koy mechayecha lohavi limos ha-Mashiach. That's the drash of the Chachamim. But Benzel Madashin Koy mechayecha is Zechira at night. The question is asked, why lohavi limos ha-Mashiach? Could just say koy mechayecha limos ha-Mashiach, just like koy mechayecha halelos. So the Chassidish Svarim say that there's a skula in Zechirat Yetzias Mitzrayim that if we remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's going to bring Mashiach. It's very nice drush. But lefi pshuto, the answer is simple. The answer is that there's a very big difference between Zechirat Yetzias Mitzrayim balelos and Zechirat Yetzias Mitzrayim Mashiach in the following way. Zechira at night is a separate chiyuv. You have a mitzvah of Zechira by day, and you have a separate and distinct mitzvah of Zechira at night, correct? So therefore, Zechira at night is Kol Yimei Chayecha Halelos. However, the mitzvah of Limos HaMashiach is not a separate mitzvah. The chidush is, as the Gemara there at the end of the first parak in Brachas brings it up, you would be a svara to think that Limos HaMashiach, this mitzvah would not apply. because the nisim then would be so much greater that would overshadow Yitzias Mitzrayim, so there'd be no need to mekayim this mitzvah l'mos Mashiach. So the chiddush of the pasuk is lahavi l'mos Mashiach. Lahavi means to bring it into the chiyuv, that the chiyuv extends and applies then as well. Which is why, again, l'fi pshuto, that's why the lashon is lahavi l'mos Mashiach. Okay, introducing the Arba Banim, we have this Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Baruch HaMokom, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shenasan Tom Yisrael, Baruch Hu. What is it? Why are we saying this right before we introduce the Arba Banim? So there again, there are a lot of ways, a lot of pshatim, it's a Birchas HaTorah of sorts. I want to go with the approach that many Mefarshim say also, that the four expressions are actually corresponding to the Arba Banim. Baruch HaMokom, they say, is the Tam. Baruch Shenasan Tomo Yisrael is, of course, the Chacham. The two Baruch Hus are the Rasha and Shindi Arisho. Baruch Hu is more Rasha Nister, because you could say that the Shevach is more muted, because of the four sons, the Rasha, of course, seems to be the most problematic. Shindi Arisho is also a problem, the fact that he doesn't ask. So those two are obviously lower on the totem pole than the other two. So therefore, the Baruch Hu. But I think what's interesting is to realize that nonetheless, there's a Shevach given for everybody. All the four Banim get an acknowledgement in this introduction, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being praised for each one of them. I think that's very very revealing. You know, the Rasha doesn't get treated very nicely. What he's told is very harsh, and basically sounds like we're turning our back on him, we're giving up on him. And yet, I think what you see here is that it's not exactly that. Maybe there's a tough love approach that we take to the Rasha. But there is an acknowledgement that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to be praised for everything. First of all, the notion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we mishabech HaKadosh Baruch Hu on everything, on the Tova, on the Ra. So therefore, even if what we perceive as bad, there's what to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu. Everyone, every son gets acknowledged. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is praised for everything. It's interesting. When the Bnei Yisrael are told that they're going to go into Eretz Yisrael and there's going to be children who are going to ask them, Mo Avoda Zos Lachem. That's mentioned in Parshas Bo. So, goes on, Vamartim Zevach Pesach Hu Hashem, Asher Pesach Batei Bnei Yisrael, Batenu Yitzil, Vayikoda Am Vayishtachavu. So they hear all of this and they bow down. So Rashi brings from the Mechilta, why are they bowing down? What did they hear that prompts them to bow down? So the halacha is, like it says by Eliezer and Chaisara, when he hears she's Rivka and who she is, he bows down, Mikan Shem Shtachavim Abbasora Tova. You hear good news, you express hachna to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rashi brings down in Parshas Bo, Vayikod Ha'am, this is in Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Chav Zayin, Vayikod Ha'am, Vayishtach Avu, Al Besoras HaGeula, Ubias HaOretz, Ubesuras HaBonim SheYiyu Lahem. Rashi. Okay, very nice. Besuras Eretz Yisrael, Besuras HaGeula, that's beautiful. Suras habanim. What banim are we talking about? Kiyom alechem b'neichem. These are the bad sons. So why are they thanking Hashem? Here you see again that there's a place to mishabech HaKadosh Baruch Hu even for that which seems to be problematic. But there's an acknowledgement that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever you do is for the good. And al derech drush, let's take that further. Keneged abavan divrei Torah, echad chacham, echad rasha. Why we mayrich so much? Echad, 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 echad. You could say chacham, rasha, tam, and derisha. Fine. The echad is making the equation. Echad zev, echad zev. You have it throughout Mishnayis. Echad zev, echad zev. Meaning that there's equation. Kuan shavin letova, kuan shavin letova. Rasha, the derisha. How you compare it? On some level, yes. The point is, Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu, we need all types, and you can't give up on anybody. You have to know how to respond specifically in a situation. Maybe you can't embrace openly. Maybe you have to take a tough love approach, but the love still has to be there. You can't reject anybody. You can't come from pure sinna. There has to be tactics, how you approach it. But even with that, even the hakeyas shinav is somehow not contradicting the notion of echad, echad rasha, echad chacham. The potential still has to be seen. Even within the rasha is potential for tshuva. Hakeyas shinav, the svarim say, is that my kids came down back with this once in school. Shin has three crowns, or three, what do you call it on the shin, right? What? What do you call it? You know what? Yeah, we're talking the squares, right? The letter, how does the shin look? That's keneged branches, okay. The avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. This rasha has yichus also. This rasha is a ben Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Even if you are tough with him, you don't give up on him. And you understand that who knows if you can really win him over in the right way. Sometimes you can't take risks, and that's why in this case you clearly are in some way distancing him, and maybe that's because you want to be protective of the other children. Maybe you have to be protective of yourself. Amartem zevach pesach is not v'amartem elav, it's to yourself, the Beis Halevi says. But notwithstanding all of that, as hakeyas shinav means that you have to bring out the good that's within him and believe in him, even if you're not being so welcoming, but you're also leaving room in some way. There's echad chacham, the echad rasha. So that's the baruch hamakom, baruch hu. Everyone gets a shevach. That's vayikol ha-mayishtachavu. They were mishtachavu, they were moda even for that. Now, the paragraph afterwards, yachal mirosh chodesh, this is all back to the dinim of Yitzias Mitzipa, Yitzias Mitzrayim. There's a yachal mivaod yom. So there are those who explain that the yachal mivaod yom doesn't mean mamish mivaod yom, but it means bisman tosefes. There's a halach of tosefes Shabbos, tosefes yontif. The ikar halach of tosefes is learned out for Yom Kippur, the Gemara in Yuma, the Sisha Lachodesh, that there's already a mitzvah to be most of Mechoa al-Kodesh on the 9th of Tishrei. The Pashtus, that's Halacha of Tosefes, both regarding Inui and also regarding Malacha. Then the question becomes, what about Shabbos and Yontif? So it's a big machlokas, Rishonim, whether that Halacha is a Doraisa or not. The Rambam doesn't seem to have it at all. Others assume that it's even a Din Doraisa. The question is, how far does Tosefes go? There's a very famous machlokas, the Taz and the Magen Avraham, exactly what happens with Tosefes. Mashal, if you make Shabbos early, so you start early, the Gemara says that Rav davened Erev Shabbos, he davened Tefillah Shabbos, the Gemara says he made Kiddush as well. So we have our Kiddush, we have a Suda, so can you eat your Suda and bench all before it gets dark? So the Marshal has his Chumrah, no, because the Maisa, there's a Lacha of Sudas Shabbos that has to be Hayom, has to be on Shabbos itself. Apparently he understands that the Maisa, you haven't transformed the day. You have a right to make Kiddush. You have a right to Daven, Ma'ariv of Shabbos, but the day is not really transformed. The Taz takes a different view. The Taz assumes that for many halachas, the day now has started when you are treating it like the next day. That's the halacha of Tosefes. It can be Nogei Lumashal, Hoshana Rabba going to Shmini Atzeres. So Shmini Atzeres, we don't eat in a sukkah in Eretz Yisrael. And if you bring it in early, but it's still technically sukkahs, and you have mechuyev to be in a sukkah. And yet, if you're making Shmini Atzeres early, so what happens to the fact that it's still Chag HaSukkos? If Tosefes has the power to transform the day, then there's no problem. So it could be Nogei over there, it's Nogei other things as well, Lamashal, Dalet Kosos. So why Lo Yochal Adam Ad Shetechshach? So why can't you make Kiddush before dark? Tosus says in the beginning of Ari Psachim, you have to wait till dark. Tosefes is also not good enough. Why not? So the answer is, first of all, that there's a mitzvah of Pesach and the mitzvah of matzah, and this has to be balayla. Yachal mi ba'od yom, ba'avor zeh. Matzah mar menachim lefanacha, balayla hazeh. So it's a din, it has to be layla. Okay, so what about Dalet Kosos? So if you assume Dalet Kosos is just like the mitzvah of matzah, midaraisa, the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos has to be bisman layla. So that's what the Magen Avraham seems to say. That it's halacha, that the Dalet Kosos is a mitzvah, so layla has to be at night. According to the Magen Avraham, so that means that the last kos has to be before Chatzos as well. If the matzah has to be eaten by Chatzos, it has to become by Chatzos, maybe the whole Seder has to be done by Chatzos. What about the Kiddush itself? If the drinking of the kos could be after Seis, what about the Kiddush? You could say the Kiddush before Seis HaKochavim, and then you could have the drinking of the kos after. In any case, this is all discussion that could obviously relate to the meaning of Yachal mi ba'od yom, that there's a chidush here. In ba'od yom, usually Tosefis might have, you have certain rights to make kiddush normally, except maybe Pesach different, and other mitzvahs. So that's the point. B'shosh yesh matzah mar menachim lefanacha, that you can't do it bizman of Tosefis. Mitchila is the expression of maskim b'gnus m'sayim b'shevach, according to one of the opinions in the Gemara, is Rav and Shmuel. One says avadim hayinu is gnus, and vayotzienu is the shevach, and others have mitchila as the gnus, which is a spiritual gnus, and now comes the shevach of kivanu makam avodaso. Now here we are talking about Terach and how he was an Ovid Avodah Zarah. Why does Terach have this yichus of being mentioned in the Haggadah? We quote the pasuk from Yoshua, Terach avi Avram b'avi Nachor, and the fact that there was Ovid Avodah Zarah. Why are we even giving any credence to Terach? So in past years, I used to say over from the Dumna Magid, my grandfather liked to say over this vart, that lehefech, what we're trying to say here is that Avram Avinu is a new beginning, and there's no longer a connection to Terach. That connection is severed, and that's the meaning of Ovid Avodah Zarah hayu avuseinu. Not that our forefathers were of the Avodah Zarah, but Ovid Avodah Zarah would have been called Avoseinu were it not for the fact that Vo'ekach es Avichem es Avram, that I considered Avram to be a new beginning. No longer do we refer ourselves as children of Terach, but rather we are children of Avram. That's the basic mahalach of the Dubna Magid. But I saw this year in the Haggadah of Rav Reuven Margolius, he brings from a sefer, Haggadah Shel Pesach Teferes Ish, why we're talking about Avoseinu, what they were before. He says a beautiful thought, that even if a person is a big Ovdei Aveira, and he's done many terrible things, and he has maybe an inkling of doing tshuva, he should not think, well, I can't, why bother? No, ki lo yidach menu yidach, as far gone as you seem to be, there's always hope of coming back. You see, we started off Ovdei Avodah Zarah Avoseinu, and yet, look where we are today, we found our way back. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Zayin, describes how the person who was an Ovei Aveira, he was sanui, he was Meshukat, he was distanced from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and now through Tshuva the power is to return, to be so close. So that's the point of this paragraph as well. But to the contrary, look, Ovdei Avodah Zarah Avoseinu, and look where we are today. So it's an uplifting message. Even Terach himself, you know, did Tshuva at the end of his life. That was a psura tavram vina terach de tshuva. I remember once hearing on a tape from the Rav that he explained at the end of Parashas Noach that when Terach took Avram on the journey, Lelechis Arza Kenan, Vayevoat Charan, Vayesh Musham, that was the beginning of the hira tshuva process of Terach. Terach de tshuva besof yamav. But it wasn't completely a new thing. There was already a spark from before that Terach felt that we have to go to Eretz Canaan. That means he felt a pull towards spirituality. So therefore, it didn't fully materialize for Terach until the end of his life, and Avram had to sever his connection way before that. When Terach was 145 years old, Avram left him. Avram was 75 when he left. So the last 60 years of Terach's life, Avram didn't have any connection to Terach. It's true, but the process of Terach's tshuva also was fulfilled in a fuller way through Avraham Avinu. But there was a spark already with Terach too. So again, you never know. Going back to the point of the Ben HaRasha, sometimes the Rasha himself will turn around to Tshuva. Sometimes, you never know, it won't be fulfilled for him, but maybe in his children, maybe in his grandchildren. And therefore, you can't play God. You never know. You have to do what's right. You have to do what seems right. In terms of, again, protecting those who could be influenced negatively, but you have to also know that in the long haul, the long perspective, you never know how something good can come many generations later, who knows. And the process is a very personal one, and even Terach, even though he doesn't get the yichus of being called Abu Seinu anymore, but there was a spark of tshuva even to him, and Avraham Avinu ultimately was the one who made the new beginning, but there was already a beginning before that beginning, and that was the tshuva of Terach, and Achshav Kivanu Makom Avodas. So it's a little bit of a different spin than the Maggid, but Elu ve'Elu. Now, we quote this pasuk in Yehoshua, which is very important, about setting the tone for the selection of Klal Yisrael. There was Avraham Avinu ve'arbe Ezaro ve'ten lo Yitzchak. There was Yitzchak who had two children, Yaakov and Esav. Esav had Har Seir, Yaakov went to Mitzrayim. The Brisker Rav beautifully explains, it's brought in Haggadah, the Brisker Rav, it's brought in the Sefer Chumash. We won't go over everything, the details, you can find it. But the basic idea here is that there is a selection. And there's a son that's chosen, and there's the son that's not chosen, the sons that are not chosen. And the line goes down to Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu, because he is the continuation of Zera Avram, that is the reason why he goes to Mitzrayim, because the Gzera was Geyer Zaracha. And the Brisker Rav explains that in theory it could have gone either way. The Bechira of Yaakov over Esav was significantly different than the Bechira of Yitzchak over Yishmael, in that Yitzchak over Yishmael was, from the very beginning, a clear selection. Ki bi Yitzchak korach azar. Avraham Avinu had his hopes for Yishmael, but from the very beginning of Yitzchak's birth, the point was made clear by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the future will be with Yitzchak. That is very different than the selection of Yaakov over Esav, because it never says explicitly anywhere that it had to be Yaakov. It says bi Yitzchak, so the drasha goes, bi Yitzchak, what does it say? Who knows the drasha? Bi Yitzchak, velo kol Yitzchak, which means some part of Yitzchak. Could have been one, it could have been the other. So there was obviously a point that defined the break. Esav is out of the fold, he's excluded, Yaakov continues. Now, the question is, what was the point that defined it? The Brisker Rav says that the point that defined it was Yitzchak sending Yaakov to get a wife from the children of Lavan at the end of Parshas Toldos, and he bases this on the Rambam in Hilchos Mila. But I discussed this in the Shir, the Ramban Shir, earlier in the year. You can probably find it as well. The exclusion of Esav seems to also rest on a later point, and that's maybe alluded to in this pasuk that we have in the Haggadah. The etin Esav is harseyer loreshes also. Rashi quotes this in Chumash. It says in Parshas Vayishlach that Yaakov returns to Eretz Canaan, to Yitzchak, after being away for the 22 years, and then Esav resettles. He brings everybody, his wives, his family, and they go to Seir. Vayelech el Eretz v'pnei Yaakov achiv. Rashi quotes the Chazal that Esav said when he did this, he was pretty much saying, Yaakov, Eretz Yisrael is for you. I'm happy to be in Seir. I'll settle down over there. That's where my future lies. So Esav was renouncing his shaychus to the whole covenant and the bris of Eretz Yisrael by leaving Eretz Yisrael and going to Seir. I wanted to explain a very interesting thing, that the Yerusha of Har Seir of Esav, the Ramban says in Parshas Dvarim, and again, I'm not going to be married. If you wanted to listen to that shir, you'll hear it more fleshed out. But the Ramban writes in Parshas Dvarim that Esav's Yerusha of Har Seir was really a chelek of Bris Ben Absarim. That means that he was entitled to that. The Psukim tell us in Dvarim that Hashem says, Yerusha le'Esav Nasati is Har Seir. So what's this Yerusha? The Yerusha was because he was, in fact, a Zera Avram. And therefore, his chelek of the Bispin Absarim was that he got Har Seir, because it's included in the nations that were given to Avraham Avinu, which is a fantastic idea. Because on the one hand, we're saying he's excluded. He's not called Zer Avram. Right? That's the whole point of this paragraph. And Mitzad Sheni, he's getting Har Seir as part of his being Zer Avram. So how do you square that? And it's interesting that in those psukim there, in Parshas Devarim, it's referring to the B'nai Esav as Achecha. So it means, to the contrary, he's Achecha. He's your brother. He's Zer Avram, in other words. So I wanted to say Chidush, Mshat, that Hagufa, in other words, the fact that Esav is excluded from every aspect that we know to be the legacy of Avraham Avinu, namely the Yerusha of Eretz Yisrael and the Priyas Chov, if you will, of going to Mitzrayim and suffering in Mitzrayim prior to going back and getting Eretz Yisrael. How did that occur? That occurred by Esav retaining one piece of Bispin Absarim, and that was the exchange that in every other respect he was excluded. In other words, his exclusion was you could say did not apply for one point, for one little piece. His getting Har Seir, that was the one thing that he remained Zera Avram for that. And by getting Har Seir as being Zer Avram for that, he lost his status as Zer Avram for everything else. So in other words, it was like a barter. That's the one piece that Esav is still not Mufka from Zer Avram, but that's what made him being Mufka from being Zer Avram for everything else. So that's exactly the deal of the Psukim here. The Etan le'Esav is Har Seir l'Reshes also, that only l'gabe that he retains the status of Zer Avram, like the Ramban says, the Yaakov on the ultimate Mitzrayim, because for every other aspect of the Brisbane Absarim, Yaakov is the ear, and Yaakov is the Zer Avram. So Dafka Gabi that, the Torah refers to him as Achechem, because Gabi that particular thing, he's not Mufka, but for everything else he is Mufka. Okay, anyway, it's a thought, Alam de Shavort, it's very nice in the Psukim, but it's an interesting thing to, again, to reflect on. The next paragraph, Baruch Shom Avtachasa Yisrael. I won't repeat the Briska Rav. You can hear it, you can look at it. Beautiful chat about the number game, of how the different calculations coalesced and came together, of Abmir Shana and Inui and Avdus and the 210. But I'll just mention the word Shomer. Many explain it to mean not that he fulfilled the Avtacha, but another point. He was Mamtin Umitzape. Shomer v'aviv shomer es hadavar. Shomer means to anticipate. Beautiful thought. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was waiting to redeem us. The Rashi in Parshas Bo explains it in another pasuk. Le'u shimurim hu Hashem lotziya me'eretz Mitzrayim. Says Rashi, Shahoy HaKadosh Baruch Hu shomer u'metzape lo l'kayim haftachaso lotziya me'eretz Mitzrayim. Lashon Rashi. That's Baruch Shomer Avtachaso. It's a very uplifting, reassuring idea. It's not just that we were in distress, the Kodesh Baruch Hu intervened and brought us out. Wonderful. That's great. But it was more than that. The Kodesh Baruch Hu was waiting to be able to do this for us. When you know that someone believes in you and is looking to rescue you, is waiting for the opportunity, it's a very beautiful and a very reassuring idea. Shomer Haftachasso means that Kadosh Baruch Hu is Mamtin U'Mitzapeh. I said yesterday, I spoke for the pre-med students, so I spoke about the idea of the Gemara says that Kadosh Baruch Hu is Magdim Refua L'Maka. That the Gemara says that usually you have a disease, an illness, and after that you find a remedy, you try to find a remedy, and you patent it. But for us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Matim Refua Maka. Hashem already is Bori Refua, and then the Maka comes later on. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu already had in mind to choose us as a nation, to do Yitzias Mitzrayim. And only after the plan is already all worked out, then it had to play out, and we had to go with Mitzrayim. And I think you can find this idea in the next paragraph too, if you think about it. V'hi she'amda l'avaseinu v'lanu. The Vihi referring to, many say, the Bris Ben Absarim, the Haftacha. Amda Lavaseinu V'lanu. The Lashon is Amda, it stood for us. But then it says further, Lo Echad V'vad Amad Aleinu L'chaloseinu. There were so many who stood up to destroy us. Now the Lashon Amad is like we find, for example, in Al Hanisim. By Purim, what do we say? In other words, standing up against us. But Amad Aleinu Chaloseinu means whoever the enemy was, their agenda is to destroy us. Amad in the sense of a challenge that they're coming to oppose us, right? To oppose us, foes. Amda is used in the beginning. Amda Lavisena Velanu. In HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the Haftacha, stood for us. Why do we use the same expression? I think to Mimirame is the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not in Refuah L'maka. It was Hashem already foresaw everything, and it's not like it was a response to the Tzara. It was already preordained that there will be a Yeshua, and when the Tzara emerged, there was already in place the mechanism to save us. So there was a Bechot, there was Bechot over there, Amar Aleinu Chaloseinu, but there was already previously the notion of Amda Lavaseinu V'lanu, and all it took was to be able to play out the Refuah that was already here from before. Understand what I'm saying? Amda Lavaseinu V'lanu, because Baruch Hu has always been there to stand up for us. The Haftacha Bris Ben Absarim is always there for us, and it stood for us, and is already there. And the Amar Aleinu Chaloseinu was counteracted by the Amda Lavaseinu V'lanu, like it says also that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was knocked in the Shkalim of the Mishkan to the Shkalim of Haman, same idea. Okay, Seyel Amad takes us to a whole new section of the Haggadah, the section of Rami Oved Avi. We darshan, phrase by phrase, four psukim found in Chumash. The first pasuk, Arami Oved Avi, introduces the attempt of Lavan to destroy everybody. And so we introduce that by saying Tseyu Lamad. Interesting expression, Tseyu Lamad. They like to say things and the word Tseyu Lamad. Sometimes say, you got to go out. The Sfarim say, you got to go out of somewhere in order to be able to gain the insight. So here they bring the Haggadah of Margolius, bring someone, the Rebbe's, the Karina, Baron Kaliner. You really want to learn, you got to leave the straits of Olam Hazeh. You have to be able to transcend. We get caught up in all kinds of narishkeit, and we can't really think about sublime issues and important issues. We're caught up in the Havle Olam Hazeh. Say Umad, in other words, want to learn. Sachas, obviously. You gotta leave those Yetzaharas behind. Another idea, sometimes learning is not just about book learning. Okay? Book learning is very important. But sometimes you have to be able to think about things from perspective of looking at situations around you and inferring and deriving lessons. Something like this, you may not get it just from a sefer. You have to be able to look at the mitzvahs around you and draw conclusions. If you have the right agreicha cup, if you have a good way about thinking, a clear mind, then you can look at any situation in life and draw the right appropriate messages. So tseyu lamad means something like this. Lavan Arami is looking to kill everybody. He's smiling. He sounds like he's very innocent. He sounds like he makes himself into a victim. The way he talks to Yaakov at the end, why did you run away? He accuses Yaakov. There are a lot of people like that. They make themselves seem like they are your best friends and they would stab you in the back. Again, this is not something that you would necessarily know unless you're a little more street smart. That's the Tseyu Lamad. You have to have a little bit of that in you too in order to pick up on these kinds of things. Okay, it's a thought. Why do we seem to minimize Paro, though? I mean, like, Paro is Paro Russia. And true, we're trying to introduce the Arami Oved Avi. But the fact is that by doing that, we are playing down Paro. And if anything, Yetzias Mitzrayim is to spell out the wickedness of Paro. So that's what Reuven Margolius here raises as a question and has an interesting answer, that precisely because Paro did not want to kill everybody, that's why the danger was greater. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzileinu miyadam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will ensure the continuity of Klal Yisrael. Therefore, Lavan could not possibly succeed, Lakaris HaKol, because that's going against the impossible. You can't, can't happen. You can't do the impossible. You can't uproot Klal Yisrael. But Paro, who is only Gaza al-Scharim, so he could possibly be successful, just like we find, Rahman al-Litzan, we find with Balak and Bilam, with Baal Peor, that they caused tremendous damage. The Magefa, 24,000 died, and they got a lot of mileage out of the Eitzah of Bilam. So precisely because Paro had a less global agenda, therefore the merit was needed in order to counter that as well. And Hefech, you know, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Shomer Anas Mitzrayim, that the Yichus was preserved, right? Paro Gozar El Alas Chorin, which would have meant that the girls would have ended up intermarrying with Mitzrayim, and who knows what Yichus would be left, if any, you know, something maybe, but very little. And the opposite was true, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Shomer, like it says, Rashi brings it in Parshas Pinchas, the shemos of the mishpachos of the shvatim have yud and hey before and after, and that's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was made that they were in fact the children of their fathers, and there was no mingling. There was only one situation that was the exception that proved the rule. Who was that? Shlomo Espas Divri. That was the case of the Megadev. That's what it says in the pasuk in Kuf Chav Beis in Tehillim. Shiftei Koh Edus Yisrael. The Yud Hei, the name K, Yud K, is the Edus that Hashem says. So that's that's Yeshua. But that's because Paro was his agenda was less global than that of Lavan. Therefore, we need a greater Yeshua. Okay. So we quote the first pasuk of Rami Ovid Avi. Oh, also, Reuven Margolius points out something else, which is nice. Bikesh, the Lashon Bikesh is used twice. Ma Bikesh Lavan Arami, the Lavan Bikesh Lakor Sakol. Why the Lashon Bikesh? You could say Ratsa, Chafetz. So he has a vort, again, a Chassidish vort. Lavan felt, when he was accusing Yaakov of stealing, he felt every one of the possessions of Yaakov. As Yaakov was in Kimishashta, it's called Kelai. And that itself represents the idea that Lavan was trying to find some achiza in Yaakov to be able to corrupt him. And it, symbolically speaking, was like he was trying to find some Achilles heel in Yaakov's midos. That's how he explains it. And Yaakov was saying, what did you find? I held my own against you. And therefore, why run after me? So Bikesh, says the Rumi Margolius, has a connotation of chipus, like it says in the Megillas Esther, Vayivukash hadavar vayimatse. It was sought out. Bikesh is not just wishing; it has an idea of searching, and that's what Lavan did. Vayichapes. So he was machapes. He was searching out some Achilles heel in Yaakov, some spiritual Achilles heel, to find some achiza that the ra of Lavan could be shoed on Yaakov. And Hashem did not allow any of that to happen. Yaakov remained the tamin, the ishtam, and was not affected by all the chicanery of Lavan, who was bikesh. He was looking, he was feeling, he was, you know, he literally tried to shake Yaakov down in every way, figuratively, not just literally, but figuratively. That's the meichapes, bikesh, okay. So we darsh in the pasuk, Vayered Anos al pi adibur. There's no pasuk for that. That's interesting. The others have sukim supporting the idea. Here it just simply states it. Anos al pi adibur. There are various pshatim in that. Vayogar sham. That means Yaakov did not want to remain for a long time, as the pasuk in Vayigash says. Just want to point out the word lishtakeya. It's an interesting expression, lishtakeya. Shkia sachama means the sun is setting. Where else do we have the Lashon Shikah in the Haggadah? Shikah Tsareinu Socha. That's by Kriyas Yamsuf in the Dayenu. So the idea is to be shakua in something is to be completely, you could say, immersed, buried in something. The point of the word l'shtakeh is what Yaakov didn't want to happen is that the, again, this is my own thought, he did not want the family to become assimilated. L'shtakeh doesn't mean about the amount of time, as much as the immersion in the culture. That's why he wanted to, everything to be in Goshen separately. L'shtakeh, that they should become completely submerged. That something is shakua, shkia sachama, set, and set means like it's, you know, it's really the real process that it's immersed. It has to be distinct and separate. Anyway, the Mseima'at, we quote the pasuk in Ekev. Now the question is asked: why not quote the pasuk in Vayigash that says that they were 70? Why quote Ekev? The answer is, I think, obvious. That what we want to do is also quote a pasuk that highlights the lesson of the fact that we started out small and we grew to be so many. In other words, just to say the fact that there were seven nefesh doesn't say anything but the fact. By quoting the pasuk in Ekev, what we're doing is taking the opportunity to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you've made us so great, and we thank you for that. Okay, it's obvious why we quote the pasuk in Ekev. Then we have a Hisham Legoi. We were distinct, Mitsuyanim Sham. That means we were a star. Everyone was stood out. Kal Yisrael stood out. Even though they did a lot of things that made them seem assimilated, but there were certain things that stood out. That's one way to read it, Mitsuyanim. Gadol Atzum. Now this is more in the physical sense, in Kamus. Vayisham Lugoi, I would say, is in Echus. The fact that we had certain qualities that stood out, that were noticed. Gadol Atzum is that we stood out because there were so many of us, the population explosion. And what's Varav? So here they use the pasuk of Revava Kitzemach HaSadin Nisatich in Yecheskel. So in the first time explain, you'll see this in the various Rishonim, that one pshat is that when you cut grass, so the more that you cut it, the more it's going to grow back even faster. And so what he's saying is, the idea is alluded to is kasher anu also ken yibre v'chen yifrots. The more that the Mitzrim wanted to challenge the population growth and to limit it, so they created all kinds of requirements and they made them work and tortured them, it only increased their population. Just like with grass. So therefore, these are the three thoughts. Number one, Lisham Lugoi, means that they stood out in terms of how they carried themselves. Then Gadol Atzum is that they stood out in terms of numbers. And Varav is the quality that they were resilient. That in the face of the adversity, they actually had the resilience to bounce right back. And it was Kasha Ya'anu, Kenyim, V'chenyim. So it would be the three ideas that lie in the expressions of this pasuk. B'damayichayim. Yeah.
Also, why are we putting that pasuk to the last pasuk?
That pasuk is actually a previous pasuk. But the pasuk is actually not in order. In other words, if you look in Yecheskel, it's actually V'ever Laich is the previous pasuk, then Revava Kitzema Chasadeh. But it really complements what I'm saying. B'damayichayim, in other words, that dafka, when we have the adversity, that's what brings out our resilience. So the demayi chayi, that goes well with the mefarshim that say that kitzemach hasad and nisatich, the quality of resilience, right? Vayareyo sama mitzvim. So now we get to the second pasuk of the four that we're going to darshan. So the question is asked by everybody, why are we quoting v'hava nischak malo? If we're saying vayareyo sama mitzvim, means seemingly that means that they did evil to us. They should talk about what they actually did, which was evil, not the scheming. Havan Ischakma was the plan, the strategy. So one answer is given that Vayirei Osanu can be translated not as they did bad to us, but they portrayed us as bad. meaning that they demonized us. Vayareyu osanu, as opposed to, let's say, vayareyu lanu. Vayareyu lanu would grammatically mean that they did evil to us. Vayareyu osanu means that they, vayareyu osan means that they portrayed us as ra. And that's what you see in Havanas Chachma, that they schemed by saying that these people are out to get us. They made us look like we were the ones that were the threat, and that we have to solve the problem of the Jews. So that was vayarei osanu. Now, kipshuto, if you take, and some mepharshim do take osanu to mean that they harmed us, so then what would be the answer? Why are we calling Havanas Chachma los? I would just say simply that when you have bad thoughts towards somebody, it's not just thoughts. There is already a certain power that you're already unleashing in a negative way that can affect a person. Obviously not to the same degree as when you actually do something harmful, but the harm has already begun. It's not just thoughts. In other words, just like, for example, we talk about ayin hara, to the extent that there's a force of ayin hara, that someone thinks of somebody and is jealous of them and wishes that their success should not continue. So there's a certain power to that, and it can ultimately change the person's fortunes. Gemara has many times examples of ayin hara. So therefore, there is already vayirei osanu in the fact that they were thinking about us in a very negative way. They're putting out negative energy toward Kal Yisrael, toward the Am. Okay, vaya anunu, and we quote the pasuk uman anoso visiv lo sam. I would simply say that the point is they didn't have, their agenda was for the sake of persecuting. It's not as if it was a secondary thing, that they were looking to have productive labor, and we might as well use these people and have a fringe benefit that they will be serving, and if they'll feel bad, so we'll have a little sadistic pleasure at the same time. But the main agenda was to have productive labor. No, the contrary. The main agenda was really to oppress us. There was a sinner, they hated us, they felt that we were a threat to them, and therefore the agenda was dafka to cause us harm, to cause us distress. The more that they could feel sadistic pleasure, the better. If they'll get some side benefit, that's secondary. As opposed to saying that the main agenda was, was really to get themselves all this work that would be productive. And that's maybe explaining the next expression, that avoda kasha is explained as befarech. Now, befarech can mean rack-breaking labor. But also, befarech, Chazal means beperach, that they spoke softly and then they basically made us feel as if we were duped. In other words, it's a psychological ploy. The ferach, meaning that they made us seem as if, listen, why not volunteer? Volunteerism is a good goal. Who wants to volunteer? And everybody got excited because they were selling them a very nice program of volunteerism. And everybody said, okay, it's only right. We're citizens of a country. And once they got them to that point, then they turned the screws, and then it became the point of no return, and everybody was stuck. And the point of that is, it's psychological warfare. Because in some way, the Bnei Yisrael would be feeling that we had a choice, because we accepted the offer, and had we not, we wouldn't be where we are right now. And that was part of what they gloated over, the fact that we would feel duped as well. And I would just add another point as well, that the Farah Chazal say means that they changed the types of work that they gave to men, what usually was done by women, let's say sewing or weaving, and things that women were not used to doing, like the hard work they would give to the women. So everyone felt frustrated. Now again, if your agenda is to have productive labor, that's not what you do. You give everyone the job that they're best at. But the answer is, it was not that. It was vayanunu for the sake of creating a frustration, raising the level of frustration. And that's why they dafka chose, what really, really mattered in the decision was not what would give them the best results, but what would give us the most frustration. So that's the two ideas of Ayanunu and Avodah Kasha. Comes the next pasuk, is the third of the four pasukim. Vayinitzek HaRashem Elkev Usainu. This is our crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and now we heard our call. So the first pasuk we explain by referring to a pasuk in Shmos. This is explained by many Mefarshim, the Or Chaim, the Netziv, that the crying was a primitive cry. This wasn't a sophisticated tefillah. This was people who just simply cried because they had no outlet, and this was their outlet. And the outlet only came when the king died, so there was a chance to vent, because everybody was venting anyway because of the king who died. So it was a day of mourning anyway, so they were also crying, and no one took that right away. No one second-guessed their crying, because everyone's crying anyway. But of course, their crying had a whole different meaning to it. But it wasn't a sophisticated cry. But nonetheless, that was a very critical point of the Geula. The Ramban explains in Parshas Shemos and also in Parshas Bo that the reason that they were redeemed, one of the main reasons, was because of tefillah. Really, on the level of merit, they should not have gone out. The Tzukim tell us in Yecheskel that the level was very low. That's what Chazal said in the Midrashim, Halo of the Avodah Zarah, Halo of the Avodah Zarah. But nevertheless, the koach tefillah cannot be underestimated. Really, the power of tefillah is why they got out when they did. Vayishma Hashem es koleinu means Hashem took what they expressed, and Hashem heard. He heard it because he was able to go into their soul, even if they couldn't express it in the way that would normally be what tefillah would demand. And I think this would explain the rest of the pasuk too. Vayaris anyenu is referring to Pishas Derech Eretz, a particular tzara that they were separated from their wives, family life was compromised. Amaleinu elu habanim, the toil, the feeling that you raised a child and the child would not be able to grow up because they would be snatched. And lachatzenu zuatchak, the sense of stress and the pressure and the quota. Now, the point is this, that when they cried, because they were completely taxed and there was no space, no mental space, no way to reflect on what was going on, there was no way that their tefillah could specifically address all of the different aspects of the suffering, because they couldn't think in those terms. When a person's mind is so constricted, you can't sort out this and that and the other thing. You need a certain ability to think with an openness of mind, to be able to organize your thoughts and say, what is the problem? Someone goes into therapy and they're completely overwhelmed, they're flooded. So, you know, what has to happen in good therapy is that the person is told, okay, so let me take you through this. Okay, so what's, start with something. Where is the problem lie? And then they'll begin to identify one thing, and the therapist will say, okay, so you're pointing this out. Very good. And you have a cognitive understanding of what's going on, and that's very freeing. And that's releasing, and that helps you sort it out. That's the beginning of healing, when you begin to organize your thoughts and see where the problem lies. They couldn't do any of that. But the chidush of the pasuk is HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to see within those cries all of the different things that were coming out and unexpressed. There was a precious Derech Eretz, and they couldn't express it, they couldn't identify it as a separate point. Hashem saw that. Hashem saw the Elu Habanim. Hashem saw the Tchak. And that's why the Torah isolates each of these things as we darshan, the Psukim, that the Tefillah was this kind of this composite of all of the above without really separating them. But Hashem was able to see everything individually. Okay. The last of the Psukim. So we'll go for another 15 minutes, I guess, right, till 1. Okay, we'll see what we can do here. The next of the Psukim, B'yotzim Hashem Mitzrayim. And we darshan phrase by phrase. Okay, the first phrase is a biggie. Loide malchadi sarah. There's a lot said here. Especially, I'm just going to point out the questions of the Rishonim. The question is this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo v'atzmo was the one who was makir. But the Rishonim raised the question that it says, loitein ha-mashchis lavo v'teichem lingo. Yeah, I'm saying this b'vchinas yishmach chacham yosef lekach. So, research it, go into it, look at the Pesukim, look at the Mefarshim and Chumash, look at the Mefarshim and the Haggadah. There was a Mashchis, and what we were spared all the Makos, but there's a special emphasis that we were spared Makos Bechoros. So some explain, that I think the Rebbe Bechai that explains, that separate from the Makah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there was also a spirit of destruction in the ear. Whenever you have death in the ear, there's also naturally forces that can also cause death that are created at the same time, you know, derivative of the main makkah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's where the mashkis comes in, and that's where the special protection makkas b'choros took place. Because Hashem could be makkah the mitzvim, but what about the fact that Bnei Yisrael could still be hit by the collateral damage, if you say collateral spiritual damage? There's Hashem is makkah the mitzvim, there's also going to be forces of destruction unleashed that could have the effect of killing the Bnei Yisrael as well. And that could be why there's also the emphasis on the mashkis and on the protection. That's what Bnei B'chai says. The Ran in Drashas Haran, I believe, I forget which Drasha, makes mention the fact that even if it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo v'atzmo, but it doesn't mean to preclude necessarily that there was also a malach as well. You have to know what he means exactly, because we seem to be saying oide malach. But he says it's not a stira necessarily. I wonder also the double expression, b'chvodo uva'atzmo. What's the two things? B'chvodo uva'atzmo. Interesting expression to dissect and see where else you find that expression. B'chvodo uva'atzmo. The atzmo and the kvodo. Okay, so Hashem takes us out. B'yod chazak of zronetuya. So we discussed this earlier, mentioning makas dever, makas and makas b'choros, one pshat of cherev. The mora gadol is gigoy shechina. So there are ways, different ways to, they've shown him explain it. The one way is as follows, that gigoy shechina triggers a sense of awe. I'll give you an example. The place of the shechina is the Migdash, right? The Migdash is associated with the notion of mora, of awe, of fear. In halacha, mora Migdash, Migdashai tira'u, sha'os cholavadcha v'yira navod. So when it's gilui shechina, there's a sense of mora gadol. Okay. Ba'oso ze'amate uv'mofsim ze'adam. Let's take that apart. Ba'oso ze'amate, so Rishonim say that the mate had on it the makos inscribed. I'll just add maybe another thought occurred to me. The Lashon Os versus the Lashon Mofes. Yeah, these expressions occur a lot. The Ramban says in Chumash, by the Navi, Sheker, Benashon Lecha Os O Mofes. What's the difference between the Os and Mofes? Os means a prediction for something that's going to happen. Like the Lashon in Aramaic, to come. How do you say to come in Aramaic? Osa, coming. Says the Ramban, the etymology of Os is something that's coming. I'm predicting an event in the future. Mofes is a wonder in the world. So the mate, now the mate wasn't used for all the makos. It's interesting if you think about it. Which makos had the mate? Dam, Tzvadeya, Kinim. Right, that was all through Aaron. Okay, what about the next three? Arov just happened the next day. Dever just happened. Shechin, they threw up there in the, you know, the Piach HaKivsha wasn't through the matter. What about next after that? Barad, yes. Arba, yes. It brought the Ruach Kadim. Choshech, also. Yeah, Makos Bechor is not. So it comes out of the 10 Makos, so really only 6 of them had the matter. It's interesting. Again, I'm just food for thought. But anyway, when the matter was used, what the matter was a symbolic act that heralded something that was going to come in the wake of the matter. It was like Lashon Asa, something is coming. It was when you wave the matter, you know that something's going to follow. It was what brought the makkah on, whether it was immediately, whether it was the next day, by Arba, they waved the matter, and then the next day was the wind. But it means that something is coming, it's about to happen. Wave the stick, and you know that you have to look for something. So therefore, it works well with the Ramban's pshat on what Os is. Os means to predict something that's going to come in the future. Okay, the Mopsim Zadam, the question is obvious. What dam are we talking about? And what does it mean? He took us out of Mitzrayim with A, B, C, D, E. And what's E? With dam. Makas dam. Makas dam, is that what it means? So again, you'll see different Rishonim, different interpretations of the Pshat here. Dam, I mean, the support text just shows you that dam is referred to as a mofes. And you should realize it as well, that v'nasati mofes v'shamayim v'aretz, dam v'esh v'simos ashen, that's all one long pasuk in Yoel. And that's the whole support of the idea of Mofsim is dam. The dipping out is a different point. because it has to do with the onesh of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like by the Makos, whenever we're expressing the idea of onesh of HaKadosh Baruch Hu against the Umos HaOlam, so we symbolize that with the Kos. The Kos is it also represents the onesh of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Gam alayich tavar Kos tishkeri v'sisari. Where's that pasuk from? Gam alayich tavar Kos. No? Eicha. Right, meaning kos atarela in Tanakh, the cup. You know, kos is a gematria. What's the gematria of kos?
86.
And what is Elokim? 86. Midas adin. The kos has to do with midas adin. So that's why the makos we take out from the cup, and also here as well. But meanwhile, what's the notion of dam? So some say it means what Moshe did to convince Bnei Israel that he was selected by Hashem. That's not the dam of the Makas dam. That refers to the dam. So you have to know what that means. So why does it mean that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim with that? Why are you highlighting that? So I once wanted to say, maybe I said it last year, I don't remember, that's what really brought the Amunah out. Klal Yisrael had to believe in Moshe. And in order for the Bnei Israel to get out of Mitzrayim, they had to have a certain basic level of Amunah. And the Amunah was solidified by the signs that Moshe performed with the Einei Ha'am. And the third of the signs, one was the snake, that the stick became a snake, and the other one was his hand becoming Mitzaras Kasheleg and back. And then the other one was the dam, that he took water and it became dam. So that's what solidified, that was the third of the signs, and three is a chazaka, Bayamin Ha'am. Bayasa osus reine ha'am, Bayamin Ha'am. So it could be the chiddush of the pasuk is, and it's the last thing in the pasuk, that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, and what was needed for that to happen was the Amunah of Klal Yisrael in Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's why Zehadam, according to those Rishonim, that the Dam means the oath that was performed by Moshe to convince them that he was chosen. Others say that Dam means Makas Dam. But then the question becomes, why select Makas Dam if there were 10 Makas? So here, again, you have to think of possible answers. Maybe because it's the first in the series, so it really means the whole idea of transforming nature through the Makos. So it begins by identifying the first one, but it really, within the first, you could say, is already the paradigm of all of them. Because what it represents is Shinui HaTeva as part of the process of the Geula, and Dam is the first, so it means that that's already setting the tone for all the Makos, maybe. Okay, then we have a Davar Acher, that we take the five expressions in the Pasuk, each one referring to two of the Makos. Someone say that Shapsi Frankel brings how you could try to work out which two are alluded to in each of the expressions. Yod Chazaka would be two, which ones? So he has various pshat, and the Barbara Nelson God that has it. This one, a tuya, which two, which fit? You can be creative here, and you can look at it and find it. Why these particular expressions would go for which particular two makos? That's how we get to Eser Makos. People don't realize how we get to Eser Makos. People fall asleep, and then, oh, 10 makos. 10 makos flow from the darshaning of the pasuk. And it's a davar acher in the pasuk. There are five expressions. Each expression is alluding to two makos. Betzach adash b'achav is of Yehuda's mnemonic. There's grace of Torah set on this. All kinds of remazim. The gematria of betzach adash b'achav is 501. There's a lot of things said on this as well. The various tanoim here who darshan how many makos were al hayam versus Mitzrayim. Exactly why is this here? The simple answer given, the Gra says, is because the promise was given to us that Kol HaMachla Shesabti Mitzrayim Lo'asim Alecha. We are shielded. If we do the Ratzon Hashem, we are shielded from these makos. So the more that you can darshan how many makos were happening, you know, and it means not just Mitzrayim, but even on the Yam. So all of that is a protection and a guarantee for us that we will not suffer any of that. And in fact, Kol HaMachla Asher Samti, the gematria of Asher is 501, just like the gematria of the Tzachadash B'Achav as well. The Dayenus, how many Dayenus are there? How many Milos are there?
16.
There are how many? 15. Why 15? Milos, that brings it to mind. 15 Asher Milos, the 15 steps. The basic idea is that I had a Hagasha last night when I was looking at this, and again, you know, you can take it or leave it. You know, the Haggadah has to speak to everybody. I mean, everything can be taken on many levels. Even the most simple part of the Haggadah has all kinds of sodos attached to it. Most of the Agada, you know, most of our Agada is already in Mafsadi Gaon, Ba'amim Gaon, and already in the Mishnais and Arvei Pesachim too. But because he has to speak to different people and different levels of people, so, you know, until now we're darshaning Pesukim, very technical. If you're a little suited for that, you're learning Baruch Hashem and Yeshiva, and you're learning Gemara, and you're used to darshaning texts, and you're used to dissecting expressions, so it will speak to you, and you'll be able to pull out all kinds of wonderful nuggets like we were doing. And that's not even the tip of the iceberg. But not everybody is wired that way. There are all kinds of people, and it takes all types, and you have to be able to appeal to everybody. So I thought that maybe the Dayenu is that opportunity to kind of get everybody involved, just like we know the song Dayenu gets everybody involved. And the fact that there's a certain rhythm, and there's, you know, each line speaks for itself, and each line communicates a point of the Hashgacha Pratis of Hashem and the incredible steps that we took, Milos Tovos in Yitzias Mitzrayim. This is a way of getting everybody involved. I'll give you a muscle for this. In the end of Sliches, we had the Aneinu Hashem Aneinu. Sometimes we run through it, right? But really, these are very old. They go back of Amram Gaon, and even in the Mishnayos and Tainis, Nisha Anna Hu Yaneinu. The more that you have repetition, the more that you feel, you get into it, right? You get into it. You know, after a while, it the rhythm, any good song, you know, if you have just the anchor and the rhythm and the meter, it just has a certain popular appeal to it. It's just natural. So Aneinu Hashem Aneinu Avinu Aneinu, for the sort of Pasha to Yid, you know, the simple Jew, children, women, who maybe in those times especially weren't so proficient in weren't so literate, but a simple thing, you can get the rhythm, you can get the basic words, and then it just, you can identify much easier with what's being said, and you get the emotion. So I think that Dayenu serves that purpose in the Haggadah too, so that every sentence has an eagle, velo, Dayenu, and then the message sinks in. So I think there's a certain truth to this as well, because that's part of these CPCs, that everyone has to feel part of what's going on. The other point here is that because there's so much in Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's important to isolate the various parts in order to appreciate not just the forest, but the trees, and in order to appreciate the specific things that there are to appreciate, and that's why we isolate each one. Okay, I'll just end with one or two things that come after this. Rabbi Gamliel HaYaomer is very important. My grandfather, Zatzal Talmud Chavetz Chaim, used to always call my grandmother in at this point from the kitchen. Bella, Rabbi Gamliel HaYaomer. You know, wherever you are until now, this is important. Come back and join us. L'yotzei Dei Chovaso, right? To what extent does that mean? At all, or partially, to some extent, that's also linked to another question: what mitzvah are we dealing with? Big machokes rishonim. Does it mean the mitzvahs halayla are not fulfilled if you don't articulate the reason for them, or does it mean the mitzvah of Shibitzis Mitzrayim? And if that were the pshat, then maybe it only means liyasadei chavaso min hamufchar. Anyway, either way, this is important material. The Sfasemis says a beautiful thought, Pesach Matzah Maror, together. Hillel ate it together, we eat it together, because the Maror is not just Maror for itself. The Maror ultimately was the process of the Geula. The Maror led to the Geula, and it was because of the Merirus that we were able to come out sooner, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't kiviyachol change his mind, but it was all part of the original process Hashem had in mind, that this is what has to happen in order for the Geula to occur. And therefore, the Mara, which is Gematria Maves, is also what allowed for the life to come afterwards. Melech Memis Umachaya Umatzniach Yeshua. So that's why Dafka, the Mara, together with the Matzah, together with the Pesach. In the paragraph B'chol Dor V'Dor, it says, Af Osano Goal Imahem. So it just occurred to me to say Pshat, it's not just that we say we were redeemed. We see ourselves as connected. Klal Yisrael is one entity through the generations. Goal Imahem means that we see ourselves together with the Yetzias Mitzrayim, because Klal Yisrael is a force. It's not just the particular people in this generation, that generation. It's the Knesset Yisrael as a whole. And to the extent that we are part of Knesset Yisrael, we are part of the Geula. If they were part of Knesset Yisrael, they are part of the Geula. We are all one entity. The generations merge together. So it's not just like we think Chayvad and we're Sashmo, so like we're living for ourselves, we left Mitzrayim. What about the generation before us? Oh, we're not interested in them. No, to the contrary. We say we, it means we as the collective we. We with all the generations between us all the way back and all the way forward. We are part of that whole cycle. Okay, we should be zochet to eat min hazvachim min hapsachim. Yes, Hashem, Hashanah, Babi, Yerushalayim. And Chag Kosher V'Sameach, everybody.